Okay, so for tonight, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 6, so if you'll turn there in your Bibles, and we're going to carry on with the next few verses. And I think as we get ready to do that, I want to review again the first two verses of Galatians chapter 6. I'll just read them to you right now. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. So there's basically two instructions in those verses. The first one is restore the one who's caught in a trespass. There's the sense of lift him up, carry him up, and help him to stand up. And then the second command in verse 2 is help the one who's weighed down by burden. So bear him up. He's staggering. He's got a heavy load. And so put your shoulder under his load and help him with his burdens. And I made the distinction between the two. There's some thought in some of the commentaries that these should be really identical. But the second command is actually a broader command than simply somebody who is having trouble because of sin. There could be many other burdens that a person experiences in their life. It could be a health burden. It could be economic trouble. It could be family strife. It could be the COVID crisis. It could be all kinds of things. And so as we labor together as Christians, the second command calls us to help get our shoulders under burdens that are causing people to stagger. Now, the beauty of the Christian family is that we all experience burdens, heavy burdens at times. And we may both be experiencing heavy burdens, but two shoulders are better than one. And if we have a whole group of Christians who are working together and bearing one another up, we have a great deal of spiritual strength in that body. Now we're going to be moving on in the next couple of verses, and the focus is going to of the verses is again going to turn inward. These two have been outward towards our brothers who are in trouble. But the way this turns inward now is in relationship to how we relate to others. And so the idea of involvement in the life of others that verses 1 and 2 calls for is something, it's something that we naturally resist. In our natural self-centeredness. Now, I don't know if that term bothers you, natural self-centeredness. It doesn't bother me because I do know that, you know, quite frankly, my favorite person in the world is me. I mean, I like myself quite a lot. I'm quite willing to bear my burdens, and I'm quite willing to tell you about my burdens, and I'm quite willing to hope that you'll help me bear my burdens. But you know, don't bother me with your problems. Now that's our natural inclination. We tend to be self-focused. Years ago, when I was in the mortgage business, I was preparing an ad for my services that I was going to send out to all the realtors in town. This is something I did regularly, trying to get them to send their customers my way. And so I was being in the ad, I was a little bit, I don't know, my conscience was bothering me. I felt I was promoting myself a little too much. So I took my ad to my boss. I said, "What do you think about this?" And he said something to me that I thought I've never forgotten. He said this: "Everyone understands self-interest." Now think about that. Everyone understands self-interest. You know, you see ads, and the people who are making those ads, they're tooting their own horns, and we all understand. That's what they're doing. They're not, they might be exaggerating for effect, but we all understand they want your business. And so it's something that we accept. It's not something that we necessarily condemn people for, because that's the way we are. Everyone understands self-interest. But self-interest is a barrier to Christian service. And the walk by the Spirit that is the subject of our recent studies in chapter 5 is hindered by our own self-interest. You know, remember it said, walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he gave us the comparison between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, all of those things that are produced in the life, are not produced by somebody who's focusing on the self. Anger, wrath, division, dissensions, all that list of problems, works of the flesh that come in the first part of the chat or the first part of that section, those do come from self-interest. We're focused on self, and when we walk in the flesh, that's certainly true. All right, let's see. So the next few verses here in Galatians chapter 6 are going to offer us a caution and a remedy for this kind of spirit, one that allows self-interest to prevent serving others or causes one to serve others in the wrong spirit. All right, a remedy for this. All right, so let's read the whole passage. I want to begin again in verse 1, and I'm going to read right through to verse 5. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. And that's where we'll stop, right there in verse 5. All right. So, one more thing before we look at the detail of these verses. There is some confusion in understanding these verses. Our text is verses 3 to 5. There's a couple of points where there's a bit of confusion. Not so much in the commentaries, but I think in our own minds. I often have had people ask me, "Oh, it says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens. And then verse 5, for each one will bear his own load." And I think King James says, each one will bear his own burden, or something to that effect, right? And so there's confusion. Wait a minute, we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, but then it says everybody's going to bear their own burden. What does that mean? So there's confusion. All right. The confusion, I think, comes from the English, and it comes from the difficulty of translating from one language to another. So I hope we can clear that up for you as we work our way through the text. All right. So first of all, we have a warning in verse 3, a warning for those who serve. Pride has no place. So remember, we're called to serve. We're called to serve our brothers. We're trying to lift the fallen, verse 1. We're trying to assist the stumbling, that's verse 2. But there is a warning, verse 3, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So the warning is that if you think that you are too far above someone else to serve them, that's a problem. That's one way, that's one application for the warning. Or if you think that you are self-sufficient and you need no assistance, right? You know, you've got it together. You don't need somebody else's help. Well, that is another stumbling block that somebody might have. If anyone thinks he is something, if you think you're something, you could be thinking, I don't need any help. You know, don't bother me. Don't come in and interfere with my life. I can do this myself, kind of thing. That's one way. Or the other way is, well, you know, I'm not going to help that guy. You know, he sort of deserves what he's got. Okay? You know, I would never do that kind of stuff. That would be the attitude. So I have a couple of quotes that relate to these two different applications. The first one comes from Timothy George. He says, the myth of self-sufficiency is not a mark of bravery, but rather a sign of pride. And I think he's right about that. You know, I don't need any help. Well, no, you do need help. None of us are sufficient in ourselves. And then secondly, this one comes from Donald Campbell in the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Something must be laid aside if a believer is to be a burden bearer, and that is conceit, an attitude that breeds intolerance of error in others and causes one to think he is above failure. And we really need to bear this warning in mind. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. This error in relationships is a self-deception. Grant Osborne, who has another commentary, he has a quote here that is quite it's quite bold, I think. But I'll just read it to you. And if you've got the notes there, you can read along with me. Part of the problem is that gifted Christian leaders are so often told how great they are that they start believing it. Oh, wow. You know? We must realize that all the good we do takes place through the Spirit in us, not as a result of our personal gifts, which are specific tools at the Spirit's disposal for His use. And I thought about that. You know, we're in a world and a culture where, kids are told they're awesome. Okay, even if they aren't. I mean, is there really, how many awesome kids are there, really, when you get right down to it? Most kids are normal, and so they're sinners. And most kids are average. And it's amazing to me. Now, I understand, but it is amazing to me how many young mothers will want to talk about how intelligent their baby is, right? They're like, well, I mean, it's human, you know, it's a human being, and it probably, you know, is capable of learning things and showing some intelligence, but very, very few are that gifted. And it is, I think it's a mistake. We live in a culture where we are constantly trying to puff people up, I think is the way to say it. I think we need to help people be realistic. That doesn't mean we should go around and say, look, you know, you're not as good as you think you are. You're just a stuffed shirt. I mean, come on, you know. That's not what I'm saying. But my point is, it's so easy, and often, I'll tell you, men who are in the ministry, and Osborne is making this application to men who are in the ministry. Men in the ministry today, in many circumstances, are told how wonderful their messages are and how great they are at various things. And it can be very harmful spiritually. And we need to be careful about how the attitudes we develop in service, in serving other people. We have been given some gifts by the Holy Spirit, and they are for His use, as Osborne points out. All right, so there's the warning, verse 3. So now a direction for those who serve. Put self to the test in verse 4. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. All right, so first of all, he's called to rigorous self-examination. This word means a serious examination. George comments, the word for test is dokimazo, which is the word used for the fiery testing of gold so as to determine its purity. Well, you've seen images of molten metal, and I've heard about how they will melt metal down, gold or whatever, to get the impurities out and to get the to make certain that it is absolutely pure and useful for whatever purpose that it's being made for, and in this case for gold, for the value. They want to get the impurities out. And that test is done by a very fiery, stress test. I'm trying to think of the word here. I'm losing it. I didn't have it written down in my notes, so that's why I'm struggling. But anyway, you can see this quote here, and I think that makes it's a serious examination. That's what we're trying to get at. Well, when we examine ourselves, we are to test ourselves. We're to prove ourselves, not in the sense of seeing how good we can be, but simply looking at ourselves and really seriously examining ourselves. We're not talking about introspection, which is a kind of morbid self-pity, but we are talking about taking stock of ourselves according to a standard. All right, so what is our standard when it comes to how we live our lives? Well, our standard is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. So we want to take a very serious, sober look at ourselves. Verse 4, but each one must examine his own work. All right, and we want to look at our own motives and our own hearts and our own desires. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 6, is it? where he talks about the testing of one's works. And he's specifically talking about the works of a Christian leader. And some is, you'll remember, gold, silver, and precious stones, and some is wood, hay, and stubble. And he says, the fire will test it. Now, he's talking about the fire of judgment. He's talking about, really, I think, the judgment seat of Christ. And the wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. All right? And so what Paul is advocating here in Galatians 6 is that we should test ourselves. We should prove ourselves before any other test should come. So the question is, does the way that we serve reflect the walk of the Spirit, the walk by the Spirit? Galatians 5:16, which we sort of has become my theme verse here in these last weeks. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So when you are serving others, are you doing it so that you will be noticed? Is that a walk by the Spirit or a walk of the flesh? If you are serving others, are you a little disgusted that you have to stoop to such depths? Is that a walk of the Spirit, or is that a work of the flesh? How do our attitudes reflect the fruit of the Spirit? That's the direction that this rigorous self-examination calls us to. The verse goes on to say, then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. And you say, wait a minute. Here we're talking about being spiritual and following the Lord and the walk of the Spirit. And now we're saying, now I can boast. What? Then here's the first area of confusion then. Okay? So this word isn't the normal word that's associated with pride. We could think of it as satisfaction when we pass the test. All right, here's another quote here. This comes from Robert Rappa. He says, the word pride refers here more to a glad exaltation than vulgar self-promotion. And so is not in this case a manifestation of sinful self-will. When one is not self-deceived, one has occasion to rejoice in God's grace in one's life. It's the kind of thing that when you find that the Lord has allowed you to help somebody else make a spiritual step forward, you give glory to God. You rejoice. You have a shout of joy to have been able to be a part of that whole transaction. That's the idea here. That's the kind of boasting I think he's talking about. Not boasting in self, but boasting in God for what God has done in your life to be able to make you a blessing to someone else's life. And I think that's the direction he's going. When we put ourselves to the test and check our motives by the standard of Christ and follow Christ, then we have real joy and satisfaction in Christian service. And we have confidence in our standing before the Lord. There is a sense here where this is looking even beyond the immediate present. And we're going to see that even more markedly in the next verse. I put in the notes, there's an eschatological sense in verses 4 to 5 with a view to the judgment seat of Christ. And one more quote from, Timothy George. He says, this kind of honest scrutiny will issue in confession, not competition. Okay? In confession, not competition. In humility, not in vainglory. And so when we rigorously test ourselves, that will help us to keep the warning in mind. Verse 3, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That's the warning. Verse 4, but each one must examine his own work. So that's the test, all right? And we test ourselves. And then the last point, hope for those who serve, for each one will bear his own load. Well, here's the second area of confusion. I already mentioned that. Bear one another's burdens in verse 2. Bear your own burden in verse 5. What is going on here? Well, this is a simple one to solve. There's two different words here, two different words for burden. Verse 2. And this one comes from Campbell. There were several commentaries that made this point, but I decided to take his quote. Verse 2 has the reference to a heavy crushing load. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens. A heavy crushing load, more than a man can carry without help. In verse 5, we have a different word. It's used to designate the pack usually carried by a marching soldier. All right, now it might be a heavy load. It might be he may have a lot of work to do, may have a lot to carry, but it's not a crushing load. He's able to carry the load. It is the burden that Jesus assigns to his followers. Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew, that's right. So the burden the Lord assigns to his followers. So bearing our own burden, the other thing to note in this verse, each one will bear his own load. That's a future tense verb. All right? And so even more than in verse 4, the look is forward to the judgment seat of Christ. The one who examines himself, puts himself to the rigorous test, and judges himself in his own ministry will bear his own burden before the Lord, especially in the judgment. So there's no contradiction here, and there's actually a great hope for the future. Because it's very easy to be self-interested. It's natural to be self-interested. And it is natural, I think, to not be that interested in serving other people. And even if we do serve other people, we can do it out of an improper motive, out of pride, out of who will notice, out of a sense of superiority, whatever it might be. But if we will examine ourselves, if we will test ourselves, if we will orient ourselves under the Holy Spirit of God, walk in humility before Him, then on that day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we receive our rewards, we will receive our rewards. There's something to get. We will bear our own burdens. We'll stand tall before the Lord and receive what He has promised for us. The idea is that if you serve others in the Spirit, you will look ahead to the meeting of the Lord with full confidence to stand before Him in the judgment. So through these three verses, even though there is this, they do tend to come back to me, remember, to focus on me, there's still a focus on me in these verses, I think, in the sense of how we serve other people. We're called to serve other people in verses 1 and 2, but how are we going to do it? Well, we're going to need to examine our heart and our motives and serve with the heart that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. You can serve out of a sense of duty. You can serve with a sense of pride. You can serve out of a feeling of superiority. So put your heart to the test. Are you serving by virtue of a walk with the Spirit? And I'll tell you, there is no greater joy in the Christian life than walking by the Spirit and just being ready and willing to serve other people, to put them ahead of ourselves, and to do God's will in the lives of those who are all around us, whom God has given us to minister to. All right, well, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You for this passage, and we pray that You might work in our understanding as we seek to take these words and apply them to our hearts. Lord, I pray that You'll help us as we minister in our community, that You would help us to be faithful servants, and that our church might be a beacon of hope in our community, that souls would be saved and Your kingdom glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How are we doing? Well, our normal Wednesday nights end at 8 p.m., so we're a little bit ahead of time. But praise the Lord, at least we're able to meet together, and that's just so much better. I was remarking to somebody, we had our first indoor last Sunday with the Bible study time. I just felt so much better having eye contact. You know, headlight contact out in the drive-in service is just not good enough. It's just not good enough. So eye contact is way better. All right, we'll close our services at this time. We haven't been doing any more singing. But one of these days, they'll allow us to take the masks off. I think we're going to have a mask burning party out in the parking lot. And we're going to, and then we'll walk right in here and have a good service that day. I think that'll be on the agenda. All right, the Lord bless you.